O God, who turns the shadow of death into life, open our eyes to see your presence. Open our ears to know your voice. Open our hearts and fill us with your love. Amen.
Amen.
Today we celebrate with joy the resurrection with songs and flowers and alleluias. It's probably the most well-attended Sunday of the year. We all gather to hear the good news that Christ has conquered sin and death. And what good news it is for those of us who have a mortality rate of 100%. While we might not want to think about death on such a joyful occasion, it does bring into perspective the transitory things that claim our hearts. The shadow of death grounds our mortal nature and reminds us of our need for God's promise of new life. Years ago, when multiple generations lived together under one roof, death actually was more integrated into family life. As elders became infirm, they inhabited the front room, which was called the parlor, where visitors would come. And at the time of death, the coffin was placed in the parlor, and family and friends came to pay their respects. Somewhere along the way, death got removed from the family home to a location in town, which became known as the funeral parlor. Then the front room was no longer the dying room, but the living room. Our culture pushed away from death and never looked back. But for Christians, this shadow of death is the beginning place of our Easter joy. We live each day at the intersection of life and death. And our faith story reminds us that the empty tomb is not just a barren grave, but the promise of new life. When I was 11, my grandmother passed away. And this was my first encounter with death. Our family drove to North Carolina to be present for the visitation at the funeral home. I stuck pretty close to my older sisters because I thought the place was kind of creepy. The mood was somber, and people quietly and politely paid their respects. My great uncle Northern, who seemed ancient to me at the time, came over to greet us. He shuffled and came towards us, and he had very poor eyesight. As he turned to leave, he hooked his foot on my sister's purse and started dragging it across the room. Now you can imagine the children just burst into laughter. We could not contain ourselves as we tried to figure out how to politely get that purse back as it was being dragged around the room. If you've ever been in a serious situation trying to stifle a fit of laughter, you can imagine the scene. To this day, when we think of my grandmother, that story evokes laughter in my family. Joy in the midst of sorrow. Life brimming out of the shadows. The empty tomb is no longer a place of darkness. So Mary came to that tomb in the dark of night to give Jesus a proper burial anointing. I'm thinking that she didn't remember that there was a humongous boulder in front of the tomb, and I wonder how she was going to move it on her own. However, when she got there, the stone was rolled away, and she found the shroud there where Jesus' body had been laid. And of course, she imagined the worst. Her heart was broken, and the emptiness of that tomb was too much to bear. when Jesus appeared and she didn't recognize him, but when he spoke her name, that was when life became death, and she was no longer standing in a barren grave. Filled with promise, Mary ran to tell the story. In Luke's version of this story, the man asks Mary, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" I ask, if resurrection is our story, why do we look for death among the living? We stand at the intersection of life and death every day. We experience little deaths every time we have a disappointment, or every time something changes, or we have a loss. Do we see these moments as barren graves, or do we see the possibility of resurrection in our lives? Life has overcome death, and God's love through Jesus can liberate our fear. So you need not run from your empty tomb, because it is a place of new creation. Losing to find, emptying to be filled, dying to be reborn. Jesus has shown us the way. As Easter people, we can find resurrection amidst ruin. And even we can find love amidst hatred. Last week, most of the world watched in horror and despair as the Cathedral of Notre Dame burned. Over the next few days, pictures emerged on social media with loving captions and remembrances of that sacred space. One photo, though, caught my eye, and it felt to me like it captured the spirit of Easter. There was ruin and ashes all around the altar, and the picture was of a golden cross in a ray of sunlight shining. Underneath that, there were stories and stories and stories of ways that people had saved parts of the cathedral, and their promises to rebuild, hope rising from the ashes, turning our despair to joy. When our lives can claim this Easter promise, we become hope for other people. At the close of his funeral, Winston Churchill, there was a single trumpeter on the west end of St. Paul's Abbey, who played taps. Now, this is customary at funerals. This song signals dusk, the close of another day. But after a moment of silence, another trumpeter on the east side of St. Paul's began playing reveille, the song of the morning, a call to a new day. Christ's resurrection tells us beyond a shadow of a doubt that our God is a God of new life and creation and never-ending possibilities. The good news does not take away our challenges in life, but offers hope that love will prevail at the last. If we keep our eyes on the promise beyond the barren grave, we can find joy in our sorrows, life brimming at the shadows, and light in the midst of darkness. So let us today go into the world with a call of reveille, for it is a new day. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Alleluia.